translation, Tathitiran Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Who can describe completely the prowess of Vishnu? Even the scientists, whom I have counted the particles of the atoms of the universe, cannot do so. Because it is he only who in his form of Trivikram moved his life effortlessly beyond the topmost planet, Satyaloka, up to the neutral state of the three modes of material nature, and all were moved.
Lord Vamana expanded, and
he, the third step, as his verse says, he basically confused the Jungers, because after the second step there was nothing left for him to give, for the Bali Maharaj to give. From this you can, just looking at this explanation here, that even if the scientists count all the atoms of the universe, and seeing how the Lord with his toe pierces the whole universe, it's like seven layers, and he says effortlessly piercing. It's really even hard. I was trying to imagine, even like how big must have been Lord Narayana then? I mean, what was the actual size? Like even without, like how can we even perhaps imagine that with the toe just pierced the whole, all the layers of the universe. We can't even see the end of the universe, never mind all the coverings. Mm-hmm. And then we all know from the causal ocean, a few drops came. That's known in this realm as Mother Ganga, the river that purifies not just this planet, but because as descends, as she comes down, Lord Shiva to stop. Because again, thinking about the whole universe and the layers, and he says few drops to Lord Vamana there, but to us, it was such a forceful water. I mean, it was so much of it that Lord Shiva had to stop it from crushing the whole planet. So he had it on his head. He said, Mother Ganga said that for millennias, like thousands of millennias, in Lord Shiva's head, until he slowly let it go further. So because of that, Mother Ganga is very sacred, because it obviously touches the lotus feet of Lord Ramanadev and touches Lord Shiva, who is Vaishnava's Tathashambhu. Lord Shiva is great to put on the Vaishnavas. And then it comes down to us, and it says that even nowadays, as we know, Mother Ganga is very special, because you can get purified by bathing in Ganga and even just chanting Ganga. When we shower, we can invoke the mercy of Mother Ganga. That's a little bit, Swami Jatakumara said, when you shower, you can chant three times Ganga, 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 and then that water becomes special as well. That's the mercy of God. Because as with Krishna, when we say Ganga, it's not different from Ganga. So it's kind of something special we can do, even if we're not next to Mother Ganga. Now going back to the atoms, and he says that even if the scientists count up all the atoms of the universe, which you know is technically impossible, but when I say hypothetically, scientists manage to count all the atoms, they still can't comprehend the greatness of the Lord. Because now, think about this also. Each atom, Paramatma, enters every living entity, and every atom. So Lord Krishna expands, and he is present in every atom, in every living, within the heart of every living entity. It's kind of mind-blowing, isn't it? I mean, to me, and I have a very tiny brain and tiny mind. But just to try to get some sort of understanding of the greatness of the Lord, whom we are trying to achieve in this lifetime, it's actually extremely deep subject matter. Because at the end of the day, we are all here because we are trying to reestablish and reawaken our relationship with the Lord, right? I mean, if somebody asks anybody up here, what are you doing here? Like, why are you even here today, coming to the temple, listening to class? Well, what would be your answer? Anybody wants to try an answer? Maybe in a short, like, first thing that comes to your mind? Yes, for
purifying.
Okay, you want to purify? Okay. Why do you want to get purified?
To get closer to Krishna, to understand myself, who I am.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but why do you want to understand yourself? Why do you
want to have a relationship with Krishna?
Why do you want to have a relationship with Krishna?
Because I'm part and parcel of Krishna.
Mm-hmm. And then what?
And then what? I go back home to you.
And then do what?
Service.
What type of service?
Devotional service.
Right. So you see, when we do a little bit of analysis, why are we here? And we ask ourselves, this is not a question you need to answer to anybody, but it's literally a very deep personal thing. And Many times we get caught up into so many external things, and we're trying to, you know, there's many rules and regulations, and I was reading just in Japan, Shaitami Kato, this one part of the conference, and there's so many Vedas and Puranas, they actually contradict each other in so many ways. But the essence of all the Puranas is what? The love for Krishna. Now, love, when we say love in this material world, things come to mind, like, oh, we love somebody, and becomes, we can get a bit sentimental about this, because our concept of love differs to the spiritual concept of love. However, there is very good news about it. Jivara Sarupa Hoya Krishna Nitya Das. Every living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna. The reason why I'm putting this into perspective is, so on one side in this verse is we have amazing Lord, as bigger than the universe, piercing the covering of this material world. Mother Ganga, a few drops that equals, like, I don't know how big is Mother Ganga on this planet, it just goes to the whole continent. So we have that great personality, the Lord himself. And then we have us here, tiny little living entities, spirit souls, who are trying to reawaken our relationship with the Lord. And when you just think about that, it seems to be a huge gap in between, isn't it? Like, there you have a Lord, and it's like, you can't even think about how great is the Lord. And on the other side is us plodding along, trying to be devotees, trying to serve, trying to elevate ourselves to the position that we can actually offer ourselves to Krishna. Or, you know, to be the genuine, pure love. Now, the important thing about this is as we read Bhagavatam, and again, I'm trying to put things in, I just like to say why I'm doing this for. I'm trying to put into perspective us as individuals, as a spirit souls, the Lord Krishna, and what we do to achieve the Lord, and how to serve. Because in Bhagavatam, we have many, many stories, and in these stories, there are many great personalities, and those who read Bhagavatam and went through the whole Bhagavatam, the stories are kind of, most of them describe some sort of mishap or misunderstanding or something that went wrong, right? And then explains what happened to the devotees involved, and then ends up with a surrender to Krishna and sort of resolution to that issue. But when I don't know, one story that Lord Shiva was mentioned, when there was a sacrifice and Lord Shiva was present, and Daksha did a big sacrifice, and he looked at Lord Shiva and he was like, look at him, covered in ashes, who he thinks he is, you know. So he offended Lord Shiva because he based his concept of a devotee or a person on external appearance, and that was the reason for his downfall. So from that story we can learn that externals and devotees not necessarily, maybe they don't match. Because when we say somebody is a great devotee, why do we say that? What makes us say somebody is a great devotee? We have many great devotees around us, and contemporary ones and also from the book. But when we say, oh, that's a great, he or she's a great devotee, what are we basing our sort of perception on? Why do we say somebody is a great devotee?
Can I answer?
Yes, sure.
I don't want to take up too much space here. Good. Could we say that he is a sort of devotee or she is not subjected to regulated principles that the Vedas? So a great devotee is pure devotee, and the Lord personally manifests within their pure minds, so they're not subjected. So they don't follow rules and regulations like we do. Maybe, I don't know.
Okay, but I would like to bring it a little bit down to, like, so to say, down to earth. Okay. If you and me walk around the corridor and we comment, oh, that's a really nice devotee, that's a really great devotee, why do we say that? What do we see?
I don't know.
Well, I think we go with observables, and I think a lot of the time it's, we look at service attitude and humility, it's quite a common way to look at it. Sometimes we look at what devotees' talents, but that doesn't necessarily actually correspond to them being Krishna conscious. I think ultimately we're trying to see how Krishna conscious a person is, but we can't actually do it, so we just go with other things which indicate Krishna consciousness, and we may or may not be correct in doing that. That's the reality.
Yeah, we look at the qualities of sometimes we may look at the way on a material level, this devotee is very kind, he's very nice, he's still be helping in certain ways. And we say, oh, that's a very nice devotee. But on the spiritual level, it's a lot deeper to see. We may have to, in order to see a devotee's spiritual consciousness, you also have to be on a certain level. Not look too much material. Anyway, it's the qualities of the devotee, I would say.
Yeah.
What do they remind you of? They remind you of Krishna.
They remind you of Krishna. And any Vaishnavis? Say something?
It's the attitude in which they serve Krishna. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. The attitude they serve Krishna. Okay, so the reason again why I'm broaching this subject is we have a greatest philosophy and we have the amazing Lord Krishna, who is a person. Believe it or not, Krishna is a person. Krishna is a... We say, but do we actually believe it? Do we actually deeply accept that Krishna is a person? So this is another thing we need to sometimes re-examine, because sometimes we were saying behavior and attitude, and I will just add a few little things there. When we see devotee, let's say Swami Bhagavan Kesha Maharaj, he's like, everybody's, oh, he's such an amazing devotee, right? And what do we see? I personally see great enthusiasm, kindness, compassion, happiness. He's happy, right? So it's something, they're very attractive qualities to see and inspiring, because when I think I want to be devoted, I want to be Krishna conscious, this is what I want to be. That's like my role model and many other. Because again, we're all different. I'm not saying that that's not necessarily the rule, because as I said, we are all individuals, we're all different. But to me personally, I would feel that's something I would like to become one day, to be, you know, genuinely, sincerely, lovingly engaged in Krishna service with enthusiasm, happiness, compassion, good service attitude. And obviously there is like a million obstacles to overcome to come to that level. But I think if we are a little bit introspective and keep trying and noticing the little things within our hearts rather than noticing everybody else's heart, because that's a tendency, isn't it? Did you see? What did he do? What did she do? So, but it's a tendency of the mind. The good news is, that's not really us. Beginning. We are eternal living entities. We are eternal, part and parcels of Krishna. I heard once Shrutidharma Prabhu mentioned, he walked into the room, we had a little class, and he just looked and he was like, I was just talking to, I can't tell you the whole thing, but I'm going to tell you the end. So there was some discussion about the deities, like putting deities in schools, like Radha Krishna deities or Gauranitai deities, and without mentioning too many names, that devotee specifically said, one devotee, great devotee, said we shouldn't have Radha Krishna in schools. But Jananivas Prabhu said, but Prabhu, worshipping Radha and Krishna is the birthright of every living entity. And there was such a smile on Shrutidharma Prabhu's face when he said, if you just had to share it, so we were all like, Otherwise, for me, that moment was such an amazing moment because it kind of, you know, when you have that little moment of aha in Krishna consciousness, when you feel you learn something, you accepted another little truth in your heart that actually, truly, every living entity has right to worship Radha and Krishna. Why? Because we belong to them. It's like there's no doubt about it. We are theirs, and they're ours. It's just we've forgotten. So every living entity means every living entity. And tying up with that concept, how great is the Lord? So the Lord is, we all know Krishna is amazing, Krishna is great, but Krishna is also very grateful. So if Bali Maharaj only genuinely offered him just something small, Lord would be very grateful for that. Of course, he ended up offering the whole universe, which but in any case, when Lord says, offer me flower, water, leaf, with love, and I accept it. Think about it again, in the context. How many leaves are on this planet even? How many leaves Krishna created? How much water is on this planet? We say 3/4 of leaves, right? How many flowers are on this planet? And now imagine such a common abundance we have, and Krishna says, offer me any of that with love, and I'll accept it. And even if we stray or do something wrong, Krishna will remember that moment when we offered him some water, or a flower, or a leaf, or bhoga, or our service on the altar, or anything. Krishna will remember that. He always remembers every little service we've done. Even if maybe for whatever reason somebody stays away from Krishna consciousness for many lifetimes, Krishna will still remember that one offering or several or whatever when devotee comes back. And he will feel gratitude for that. I mean, please meditate on those things. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, feels gratitude for our insignificant little offerings when we do it with love. Because it says, we know Krishna has everything. Krishna is master of material energy, isn't it? Spiritual energies, jiva tattva, material energy, spiritual energy. He doesn't need anything, but there is one thing Krishna does not have. And would anybody like to say, what is the one thing that Krishna does not have? Yes?
Devotion to himself.
And that's what he can.
Okay. One thing that, in relation to us.
Our love.
That's it. So I'm going to repeat. Our love for Krishna. So there is one thing in all of the universes, spiritual, material, everything, that Krishna does not have, and that's your love, and mine, and everybody else's in this world. From each living entity, we are holding it back. We are designed to serve, we are designed to love, but we have it because we are marginal potency, and because we have a very precious gift by Lord, which is called free will. It mentions in, I think it's 1863, Bhagavad Gita verse, when he speaks Bhagavad Gita, and then he tells Arjuna, I'm going to paraphrase, now I've told you all this knowledge, you heard everything, so he showed the universal form, there was no doubt Krishna was the Supreme Lord. However, even with all of that, Krishna said, I've told you everything now, think about it, think. Krishna says, think about what I told you and choose to do what you want. Very important thing. Something that we need to remind ourselves. Krishna didn't say, Arjuna, don't be so stupid. You know I'm God, right? So stop acting now. Come and serve me. Yeah, you know, me, God, you, servant. No, got to do it. No other way. Does Krishna do that? Does Krishna ever do that? Coming back to us, we are trying to serve Krishna. We have association of devotees. We say sadhusanga, right? Do we remember these things when we interact with devotees? Krishna is so patient. He says, I've told you everything. Do what you will. And Krishna meant it. He didn't mean like, because like, he's given free will. Everyone here, every single devotee in ISKCON or those who are not in ISKCON, those who are trying to serve the Lord, are doing it out of their own free will. Means, in the common word, volunteers. We are all volunteering our time, energy, mind, intelligence, whatever we can, Krishna. Association of devotee is important. Chishirada Gokulani Ki, Chishikorni Tai Ki. So in devotional service, that what we are supposed to be doing, we said sadhusanga is important, association of devotees is important. And thinking about again that Krishna has a gratitude towards each living entity for minute services. Again, in the context, how much gratitude should we feel to Srila Prabhupada for giving us all the knowledge? How much gratitude we should feel for every devotee who was there for us when we were crying or distressed or confused or needed help, who helped us, supported us. How much gratitude we should feel for everybody who ever enhanced our Krishna consciousness in any way. And that includes also the people who are not officially devotees, I would say, because there are many nice people who also give sometimes unexpected support or help us and support us. So every, again, living entity, Krishna's servant, they don't know about it. They might know soon. So gratitude is so important. And understanding how Krishna has gratitude towards each insignificant, like countless living entity there, and we are one of them. And thinking that, what am I doing? And we have many problems in spiritual life. There's always problems, obstacles, you know, adhyatmika, we are facing, you know, miseries from living entities, miseries from the weather and nature, miseries from our own minds. They exist, right? Anybody is free from those yet? Or anybody experience some freedom? But we go into constant uphill struggle. And we don't want that. We experience that we're still trying to push through all of that and serve. And that requires faith, determination. Association of devotee gives us platform where we can fulfill those things. Okay? And appreciating that and having like a moment when you actually, you know, follow the path of self-realization. What is self-realization? We talk about philosophy, do we even understand the meaning of it? Self-realization. Who are we? Self. What are we self-realizing about? We need to, because we have our habits, we are conditioned with so many things. Self-realization in Krishna consciousness is really unpacking and unpicking and sort of peeling off the layers of what is not in order to reveal what it is. You know how they say, but when the artist sees a big stone, he only sees the sculpture with it. He only reveals it, that's how they see it. He carves the sculpture and it becomes a beautiful masterpiece. So in a similar way, as a devotee, it's our individual responsibility to carve what is not Krishna consciousness, what is not happiness in our devotional service, what is hindering us, what is causing us to make offenses, what is causing us to not to be happy in Krishna consciousness. Right? Isn't that the point? We want to be happy. So we need to take away those things and actually allow ourselves as a spiritual soul to shine. And acting on the spiritual platform, I mean, there is obviously there is whole philosophy we know and the knowledge. We have three elements to it. My brain is a bit burned here. So So let me just remind myself. So yes, so we have Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So these are our processes. You know, so Sambandha is what it is, it's our relationship with Krishna, right? I'm going to jump to something else. I'm going to go to Prayojana now, because it's the ultimate goal of life. It's actually acting in relationship with Krishna. So these are interesting things, because sometimes we spend too much thinking, how am I going to do this? So we get overwhelmed with so many rules, regulations, and everything that comes with it. Some of the, we have major ones we need to follow, of course, but we need to have a healthy balance of understanding. Before we even figure out how, we need to first understand what is that I want. A really important thing. This is not automated process. This is not like you come here, you follow the sadhana, and things will magically just happen. You're going to come like a washing machine. I don't know. You get in, tumble, tumble, and you come out, oh, I'm done. I go. This doesn't work like that. Because that free will we were talking about earlier is the very important thing. Why? Because free will means we are choosing what to do. And can we blame others for not making right choices in life? We often do. We blame, I don't know, government, we blame this, we blame that, because there are some miseries happening. But bottom line is, everything we do in our life is really on us. The choices we make are our choices, which we use our free will and independence for. Consequences of those choices can vary, but then if we make so-called wrong choice, it's actually not really a bad thing, because we learn what is not. Right? Isn't it? So we make something, we do something, and I don't know, if you try to cook with certain spices and it comes up, so we will learn, okay, I'm not going to cook like this. So it's not really a big thing. You learn something from experience. You learn that, okay, this is not how you cook. You need to change the setting. You need to change the maybe heat or spices or something, right? So in life, life is like this. In Krishna consciousness, it's going to be up and down. And the choices we make, sometimes we try to make choices based on knowledge we have and experience. So we call that jnana and vijnana. Jnana is great. We need some knowledge. But more could be some knowledge is power, and I will just say a little bit maybe back to different because knowledge in its own is good to have, but that knowledge is not going to bring us, unless we put this knowledge into practice and apply it in our daily lives, it's not going to take us anywhere. We can know everything, all the shastras. There is one gentleman in Germany, I heard my spiritual master is one of Dr. Maharaj mentioned once. There is a person in Germany, he's got like a PhD on Chaitanya Charitamrita and on life of Lord Chaitanya. And anything you want to ask about Lord Chaitanya, he will know. But guess what? He's not a devotee. But he knows. He knows, I don't know, thousands of thousands of times more things than I could ever probably learn about Lord Chaitanya. But he doesn't believe that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord. He doesn't offer service and doesn't love Lord Chaitanya. So we should be careful not to end up being that person that we got PhD in knowing everything, but not actually applying that knowledge. Only when we apply the knowledge, we can actually gain realizations. By the mercy of Chaitya Guru, who is Krishna within the heart, and external Guru, who is our spiritual master, or Srila Prabhupada, or even other devotees or people. Anybody can externally help us in our spiritual life. Those who do Sankirtan out, they know that there's lots of gurus on the street who teach us lots of lessons. And in this process, we slowly progress. But the importance of going back to the qualities, we need to develop the qualities. Because we are part and parcels of Krishna. We know Krishna has 64 qualities. We have up to 50. So those qualities we have as a spirit soul, they're coming in a minute form, like a drop, it says like a drop in the ocean. But the drop of the ocean is same as the ocean. So these qualities are the same, but in a tiny quantity. But quality is the same. I can't stress the importance of developing those qualities as a devotee. Because without those qualities, we are really wasting our time in a way that we are not growing spiritually, we are not actually making progress, we are not actually taking away what is not. Because we are not introspective enough to stop and see, okay, do I have anger issues? Okay, what do I do about it? We tend to be, the tendency is to cover up and hide everything and just be like, I'm such a good devotee, I hope everybody can see. I'm just doing this sort of good thing. So there's a tendency to just sort of really show, I mean, at least I know I'm a pretender anyway, so that happens, you know. I'm hoping by pretending maybe one day I'll be a real person, a real authentic devotee. But it's on the long run, it's not the best solution. The best solution is to understand why, you know, first of all, going back to Prayojana, is acting in relationship with the Lord is the highest goal of life. So this is what we're trying to achieve. This is what I believe everybody here is trying to achieve. To act in relationship with Krishna, to simply be connected, to understand Krishna as a person, and to offer our personal, individual love and service to the Lord in our unique way. Everyone here is unique, different. Krishna created us all different. We have the same philosophy, but our realizations, our path will be different. Hence, devotee, each individual, will serve the Lord within their own ability, talents, hard work, and obviously choosing how to offer it to Krishna. Within parameters of what Srila Prabhupada gave us, there will be loads of varieties, and we need to start learning that that's also okay, that devotees, they don't have to do the search what I'm doing. It's perfectly fine if somebody is doing something different to what I do. And to kind of accept that this movement, that Krishna consciousness, like Prabhupada said, I build a house that everybody can live. He didn't say only a certain category of people can live in the house and build. He said everybody. And everybody means simply that. Sometimes simplicity is right in our faces. Everybody means everybody. And the reason I'm saying this is because when we don't see things the right way through the eyes of the Shastra Chakshu, or the spiritual, to the Shastra and through our own realization, we commit offenses. And those offenses are hindered. But they're not just offenses we read every morning for the sake of reading. Again, you need to understand why we're reading offenses against the Holy Spirit. Because so we understand how to recognize them, so we avoid them. Isn't it? That's why we're trying to understand that, so we can avoid those offenses, right? And on the plus side, by avoiding those offenses, we try to forge positive, enthusiastic, loving relationship with devotees. And I'm looking at time, it's time to finish. But anyhow, so just to summarize it, going back to the Sambandha, Videya, and Prayojana, which was done, how do we understand the great personality, Lord Krishna? Is, of course, Radharaya, I'm having to focus on, but of course, Radha and Krishna in our Sampradaya, we worship Srimati Radharani. Is to understand, first of all, what is that you want? And please, not to me, but do this like a little homework at home, and in free time. Three things. Ask yourself, what do I want? Krishna consciousness. What is my goal? Have a clarity about what you're trying to achieve. It helps. Then ask yourself, why do I want to achieve that? And dig deep. Ask yourself, like I was asking you several times, why? Really go dig deep into your own heart. Find that why. Because what happens when you find that prayojana, you understand what you want to achieve. Why you want to achieve? Because, you know, it's your eternal relationship, right? It's your sambandha, it's there. It's God-given right, we have that. It's ours. We should take it, right? Lord Chaitanya came, Prabhupada came, they said, here, take it, this is for you. Then we have Abhideya at the end. How? Then it fits naturally. how we're going to achieve this, that definitely follow the sadhana, satsanga, follow the, you know, all the process Srila Prabhupada has given us in this moment. And it becomes much more meaningful and simpler to follow. And in that process, we understand ourselves to be authentic, unique personalities who have our own, you know, personal relationship with Krishna. And that's how main work in this lifetime. It's not about trying to fit, it's not about trying to just sort of day in, day out do the same thing without stopping and thinking, why am I even doing this? What's the meaning of all of this? So please do a little bit of introspection and try to understand, try to see yourself that I want to be that spiritual person, I want to choose to love Krishna, I want to be that person, I want to connect, I really want that relationship, right? To come to that, we need to read regularly, we need to chant, and in all of that, sincerity, determination, and love is the price to pay. Now you think for yourself, are you willing to pay that price? You know, you want to be sincere, you want to be authentic, and you want to develop that love, and you're going to be determined. It's like, this is what I want. And then you put to work for it. With your consciousness. It's that movement for Krishna consciousness. With being conscious of Krishna. So when we do stuff and we are not conscious of Krishna, we need to stop and think, am I just on the autopilot now? Like I'm just doing stuff automatically, or am I just actually think, hang on, I'm actually connecting this direct phone call to Krishna, I'm chanting. Prabhupada corrected that devotee when he said, Krishna, one devotee was giving class, and the Prabhupada was in the audience, sometimes he would do that to just enable and empower, you know, encourage devotees to give class. And the devotee said, Krishna is in his holy name, and Prabhupada corrected him. He said, Krishna is not in his holy name, Krishna is the holy name. So I was like, oh wow, but I was like, oh, Krishna is in there. But such a small difference, but really when you think deeply, it's actually a huge difference. It's not Krishna is in his holy name, Krishna is his holy name. And I was thinking, I better improve my chanting. So anyway, leaving you with that on that note, and hopefully that everyone can engage, use the free will, and whatever you've got, all the talents, everything you've got in you, don't compare yourself to others, you on your unique path to Krishna, just go for it in this lifetime. We don't know how much time we've got, so put a smile on your face, be happy, be grateful. Gratitude is antidote for all the problems that we have in this world. Gratitude is antidote for all the problems we have in this world. If you have gratitude, the rest is manageable. So, all glories to all of you, and thank you for being patient. And I just made it literally one or two questions, if anybody wants to chastise me.
So, I'd like to thank you for your class, it was very nice. And I appreciate in the beginning you said it appears that we're plodding along. Because actually, I think it's a matter of perspective. And like you see the jets going in the sky, and it seems like they're going very slow. But I happened to be present once at a centennial ceremony, and a jet plane flew over our heads, full speed, 100 feet off the ground. And it literally sounded like the description of Dhruva Maharaj's arrows, like a screaming peacock. But it was the same speed. And I think it's sometimes devotional service if we view it like that. It seems like we're plodding along, but if it takes one time, one lifetime, even 300 lifetimes in comparison to, we may have been here 8,400,000 different lives, it's actually a very short time. And yesterday Srila Prabhupada, he was saying that even if a child is just offering a flower, obviously that's a deposit in his spiritual bank account. It's a powerful thing. So all those things we're doing in devotional service, they're actually like supersonic. They're actually extremely powerful spiritual activities. It may seem insignificant, just offering a flower or sitting down eating prasadam, but look, everything we're doing is actually has extreme spiritual potency. And like you're saying, that the gratitude and awareness that what we've been given and actually how powerful it is. So thank you for bringing those things into perspective.
Thank you. Anybody else?
I was just thinking about this person who were mentioning about who read Chaitanya Charitamrita and who knew it very well, but this was a devotee. So I was just thinking, what is the future of such a person? I was just wondering whether, because we know that in order to really benefit, we have to have faith. We said the scriptures, we need faith. Otherwise, we will not be able to benefit. But I was just wondering whether it still will bring some benefit, just because the person touched the book and if they had some contact with the scriptures, or will it be counterproductive that they will have some, it will be an obstacle that they were studying, but they did it in a wrong attitude.
I think this type of things is, again, it's very hard, it's virtually impossible to actually understand what's going on in someone's life, especially spiritual life. As I said, and I've learned, I've been around for some time, a few decades, and one thing I've learned is, like, best not to speculate on anybody's, like, spiritual path and stuff, because I'm not trying to think what's going to happen, because that's, again, it's an individual journey, it's an individual thing, what devotee does or doesn't do. I feel the safest position to what my realization is always to be supportive and encouraging and stay positive and kind to other people. Because, I mean, we all make mistakes, we all do something inappropriate or, I don't know, we don't follow everything 100%. I mean, I can freely say probably maybe some great souls here, but I would say that most of us slip away here and there with something, right? And that faith and whatever we have, it also fluctuates. That's why when we come to the platform of Nishtha, which is more steady platform, that's when our faith is more firm. And again, everything complements each other. It's not just one thing. We often forget, we focus sometimes on one thing, but there is like so many layers and so many variables that can help us in Krishna consciousness and enhance our Krishna consciousness. One of the, again, personal realization, most important for me is association of devotees who are kind and supportive and nice and helpful in Krishna consciousness themselves. So we can, you know, we get that nourishment, we get that sometimes kick, you know, like, but, you know, what somebody does or how they're faded, you know, whether it's productive or counterproductive, Krishna is the only person who will actually know that. Because sometimes person might need to go through a process of learning, like, you know, sometimes, like, I don't know, I'm sometimes feeling I'm quite stupid and I need to learn through experience and I try things and think, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Like, it doesn't disqualify me from following the process. Well, I hope not. But, you know, it's very hard thing to kind of think, and that's why it's even more important. Best thing is to focus on ourselves and make sure that our Krishna consciousness is up and running enough in the best possible way. Then we can help others with their Krishna consciousness. You know, the oxygen mask in the plane that famous thing we devotees often say, first you have to put mask on yourself and then help, because again, what example we give, what we do is more important than looking what other people are doing or not doing. And even if we see somebody doing something wrong, are we doing it just to see what is wrong, or are we doing it with intention to actually analyze that and see what can we do to help them? It's a huge difference. And that's Lord Chaitanya's mood. It's compassion and help. And we all know that our best time in Krishna consciousness is when we are being supported and helped, and our worst time is when we feel rejected or mistreated or, you know, in association with devotees, disappointed or things happen that we don't feel. So again, going back to what I was saying, we ourselves need to become good examples, good representatives of Srila Prabhupada, genuine persons, and developing our own good qualities. And in that process, simultaneously, we can help others, and by being grateful, humility comes as well. And sorry, but anyway, it's basically, it's like we can't, there is no really answer to that, per se. We don't know what is the best or not best. We can only, from our own experience, we can offer the best solution to a person. But our intention has to be pure. Our intention has to be, I want to help this devotee. It's not like, oh, you know, how could you do that? That's so wrong. You're never going to be a good devotee. So, you know, we need to figure out what by doing. But that's what I'm saying. What are you doing here? Are we here to help, assist the servants? Or are we here to kind of, you know, walk around and just sort of dish judgment people? I don't know if that probably doesn't answer your question. Yes, Prabhu.
I was wondering he mentioned something that was a very wonderful statement. He said, whatever you see, something that we should understand. You see it, or you spot it, you've got it. And I don't know if that means anything. So if you see the Guru Maharaj, well, that's all we should. And if we are critical, then we should understand that actually that's a reflection of ourselves. If you see that person's fault, that's the fault we see in ourselves. So it's a very interesting statement. So careful, you've got to watch the mind.
Yes.
And see the good. And if you find yourself being critical, then you're only analyzing yourself, because you recognize it.
Yes. Yeah. But you see, sometimes I do need to suggest to add to this a little bit. But when we also see something bad, depending on our position, sometimes, like say if you're a parent or something, you need to correct as well. And the whole point, again, seeing something, so to say, bad or discrepancy, if you're in a position of authority or something, then some certain things need to be addressed. We shouldn't tolerate nonsense, we shouldn't tolerate discrepancies, we shouldn't tolerate things that are not in line with our Srila Prabhupada's teaching, in the sense of, you know, if somebody's doing it, the attitude, as I said, needs to be to help them and make them, help them see what they're doing and what's the solution, what's the best way for them to avoid doing that in the future. It's not about demonizing anyone, but it's not also about just sort of, I've got my Krishna consciousness and doesn't matter what's going on. I mean, if we, you know, depending on our position or as well, then we need to act accordingly. Because if we're given service, if we're offered service and platform to like be a manager or something, or a guru or something, it's a great responsibility. It's to guide devotees as well and to correct them. And that correction needs to be done in a loving, helpful and supportive way. Not with the intention to, you know, just crush somebody. But it's not always good to kind of just sort of think, we see good, of course we should see good, but if there is something not so good, it also needs to be addressed, because consequences of those bad actions can affect many, many people, many devotees. Sometimes devotees leave Krishna consciousness because of things that were happening that were not being addressed or dealt with appropriately. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.